Just really quickly, if you haven't been for a little while, we've been going through the words, the wisdom, the works, and the way of Jesus, reading through the Gospels this year, and well done for jumping in on that, getting in on the adventure, for reading and applying God's Word. It's a big deal. And I want to encourage you to keep going to get through to the end of the year and keep reading and keep applying. And as we've looked at this way of Jesus, I've been listening to the words that have been spoken from here and reading and remembering that the way of shame is supposed to look a whole lot more like the way of Jesus. The way of shame is supposed to look a whole lot more like the way of Jesus. And Ryan shared last week, to let go of bitterness. So the way of Jesus is to let go of bitterness and to grab a hold of forgiveness. Dan shared before that about reaching beyond, reaching to those who are sick and needy, who are socially outcast, who are struggling beyond where we would naturally and normally feel comfortable. Jesus shows this way of reaching beyond. And Ryan before that talked about just humble service. And there's these themes that keep calling us back into this way of Jesus, to be less of us and more of God. This is the way that Jesus continues to call us to. It's not a practice makes perfect thing. Let me just put that up out front, right away. It's not just do the stuff that Jesus did. It's the pursuit of the person, not practice makes perfect. It's Him, Jesus, who, when we invite Him, restores us and encourages us and redeems us and empowers us to do this stuff. Like, how good is that? How great is that, that we have a God who empowers us to live out His will, that wants to work through us? And what I want to talk about tonight is this one thing that's foundational, I suppose, to all that's been shared. And it's foundational to our lives. It's the thing that every great man and woman throughout the Bible and throughout history has taken a hold of. It's dependence upon the Father. Okay, so if you write things down when you listen, write that at the top of your page and then write this under it. There's no end when you depend. There's no end when you depend. And man, when we feel you like that, it's going to stick because it rhymes. There's no end when you depend. Our strength is limited. We feel it this time of the year when we come to a close on work and we're weary. We feel our strength is limited. Our time on earth here is limited. Our creativity limited. Our patience. Who runs out of patience? I know. Yeah, I know I do. A creativity, but God says, man, my time's not limited. God is limitless. He's the Alpha and the Omega. His strength is not limited. He said, man, I'll be strength to you. In your weakness, I'll be strong. And Jesus, in his short years on this earth, just spent time pointing to this dependence on the Father. And that's what I want to look at today and encourage us to go in this evening. It's this attitude of meekness and depending on God that changes everything. And Jesus was undoubtedly like the most influential man that ever walked this planet. None of us would deny that. And He understood this so well. Open up to Matthew 5, and there's a few places I want to go just to read our way through this and to see this way of Jesus in this meekness of heart and mind and dependence on the Father. And this is a really famous place in Scripture where Jesus seizes a moment on a mountainside. It's long enough into his years that the crowds have started to gather around Him, seen His miracle, heard His words, known His power, and he seizes this moment. And does this teaching called the Beatitudes on the Mount. I don't think He called it that. We called it that. He just saw an opportunity and went for it. It says, this is the way of God. Like, do you want to be blessed? He said, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. It's a starting place for Jesus. He blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How often do we, you know, want to work our way towards independence? Isn't that how we live? Isn't that how we're raised to do things, to make our own way, to be the masters of our own destiny? And I wonder, people sitting on a rock at the back of that crowd listening to Jesus, what they must have thought of his teachings. They're hard and they rub and they call for less of us and more of God. And he goes on in those, and I don't want to go through all of them. It says, you're blessed when you mourn. Like when you see the broken state of the world around you and you're moved by it. When you're meek. When you make room for God. Not when you're weak. And there's a big difference. And I'll go there in a little bit. But meekness is just that, realizing your need for him. That by very definition is just meekness. He says, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we would reach to God and be filled in each of these areas. And this seems to be the starting place for Jesus, is that dependence, this less of us, more of God lifestyle. Jesus was sitting with some of his closest friends and they're like, Jesus, how do we pray? And actually go here with me, flip to Matthew 6. It's only a few pages over. Matthew 6 and 9 to 13. How do we pray? He says, don't worry about self-made, man-made prayers, about repetition, about some of the prayers that you've heard from the Pharisees and religious leaders. He's like, pray like this. Let me teach you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debted against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's about his kingdom and his will. Again, it's the very definition of submission, of meekness, of dependence. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Yours is the power. He says, pray like that. It's God who can give, God who forgives, God who will lead you, God who will deliver you. He was showing us this way of dependence upon the Father, this meekness of heart and mind. And look, it's not weakness. It's not a weak thing to depend on God. In fact, as I said in the beginning, it's the way of the mighty. It's the way to making lasting change and different in effect in this world when we get it. And meekness is just, I think, just having a right opinion of who God is and who we are. Like when we get that he's this all-powerful, almighty, all-creating God, and who we are and our frailty as humans, like what other way is there, I ask you? Honestly, what other way is there than to say, God, would you have your way? I see that and I know it. It's this way of to stop being so self-made, self-strong, to be selfless and allow God's strength to work in us and through us. A lot of different spots, and I'll just share a few. Jesus is quoted as saying, very truly I tell you, Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. It says every day in Luke, Jesus went to the temple to teach, and every evening he returned to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. And we can only assume it's time of restoration and time with the Father. And I love that. There's this equal measure of Jesus, you know, preaching, teaching, sharing the gospel, healing, doing miracles, whatever his days were filled with, this equal measure of this outworking to just coming to God in the evenings on this mountainside and just being like, God, I'm dependent on you. What do I say? What do I do? Would you strengthen me? Would you fill me? And Jesus was open about it. In John 5:30, he says, by myself, I can do nothing. Wow, Jesus. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. This is about my Father. It's not that he won't do anything aside from the Father. It's that he can't. Man, it's got to be that we would see this way and be drawn to it. The teachings and the style of Jesus to reach out to God and depend on him. He says, I don't speak on my own. The Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I've spoken. He says again, as the Father has loved, so I've loved you. Can you see that it's just this? As the Father has, I have. As he has, I have. It's the wisdom, the judgment, the justice, the love that comes from the Father. And he keeps stating this and pointing to this Heavenly Father who's so dependable, who's so good, we might take hold of him. I think in so many ways, in all that he said, he wanted to show us that God was trustworthy. Because we find it hard to trust, to depend on something, to let go. Like that's human nature. We want to know that it works. We want someone to go first. I got to grow up near a lot of bush when I was a kid and grew up actually around a lot of guys my age in our street. And we would get home from school and just rush straight into the bush to go and build swings in trees. That was what we did. And so there's swings hanging from every second tree until we found the perfect one. And we had to go higher and better and all that stuff that guys do. And we found this one tree one time that we're just like, this is going to be the best swing we've ever made. It's going to be wild, but it's going to be good. And you spend some time like getting the fishing line tied around your sinker because you've got to throw that first and get it over the branch. And then you can tie your fishing line to your rope, pull it over, tie a slip knot and get the rope up there and you're ready to go. Then you pull on it. Then the testing phase begins. Everyone pulls on it, looks at it for a little while, you know, 7-year-old, 10-year-old kids. And you're weighing up the physics, you know, the length, the force of gravity. It's gonna be all right. But someone's got to go first. Someone's still got to be the person on that swing jumping out of that tree, taking that couple of meter free fall before you actually start to swing across this stump. And it just so happened that on this day, it was my turn. You know, we could usually convince my younger brothers to keep taking all the first turns. Stepped up and I'm like, man, this is going to be awesome. Pictured it happening. Swing out across this log gracefully. Mates cheering and I land on the other side and they're just like, what a hero. Jump out of the tree. The rope snaps right over the top of this log and I just like crash on my side, my ribs, my hips. Gosh, it was so painful. This rope snapped right at the word. There was sand on either side. And I'm like, why? Snapped right on top of the log and I'm just writhing in pain and my brothers are just like, oh. And then they picked me up and carried me home and I was okay. And they didn't go on the swing. We want someone to go first. We want to know it's trustworthy and good. And it's like Jesus is putting his hand out and saying, man, see, he's good. Come with me. Swing. You're going to land. It's okay. I'll show you the way of the Father. The things I say, man, they're from him. I don't judge as just judging on my own. Like that's his justice. See, he's good. He's loving. I don't love just out of my own strength. Like that's him. When I come to share with you today, man, it's all because what happened with God on the mountainside last night, it was the best. God, my Father, is trustworthy and is good. And Jesus, like, you can swing and get across the gap and land on your feet, but it's in my strength, the strength of the Father. And this was the way of Jesus to depend upon God the Father. It does. It infringes on our manhood, on our womanhood to depend on something. We want to be independent. We want to be strong and good of our own strength and merit. Because when we're dependent on something, it means we need help. And asking for help, Like, here's a really personal thing for me. It's one of the hardest things for me to ask for help. Might sound a bit weird, but I really struggle with it. Because we want to be able to do it. We want to be able to do it all, make it all. We want to be man enough, good enough, strong enough. God's like, it's okay to be dependent. It's not weakness. It's not weak. It's this meekness of heart. And I am limitless. Shane, you're limited. And I find that again and again and again. And God calls me back to this place of depending upon Him. But it's hard to be out of control, isn't it? When life gets out of our hands and we don't have control out of it. When life gets real. You know, when we get sick, when we lose our job, when all of a sudden we are out of control, thinking we had it so together. We struggle with our finances, when we struggle with anger and it gets away from us and we can't rein it in, with fear, with relationships, like the real stuff in life. When we realize our frailty, well, we probably don't have it all in control as much as we'd like to, but most of the time. And it's in these moments that I've been guilty of, and I think so many over the years, walk to the back of the car, open the boot, and get out God, the spare tire. Your car is wrecked on the side of the road, the tire's flat, and you're like, God, like I need you now. Would you just do this one thing for me? Would you just save my marriage? Would you just get me a job, find me a house? God, would you just heal me? Would you just heal my wife? Would you, like, God, just do this one thing for me and I'll do anything. And I believe even in those moments, God, who is so loving, who is compassionate, who is faithful, says, yeah, I will. When you call on me in honesty like that, I will. But after that, you know what I think He'd say? Don't put me back in the boot. Like, can I ride up front with you? Can we hang out, listen to music? Can we look out the windscreen together and take it all in and go on this adventure together? Is that cool? Like, that's what God wants. It's what He's always wanted. It's not a burden on God to depend on Him, to have Him right up front, to have Him give directions, and when we need to, take the wheel, not to go back in the boot. I think it's always been God's plan, God's dream, God's desire is that relationship, that being in the front seat relationship of love and tenderness and intimacy that He's always wanted. Adam and Eve walked in it. They knew it right in the beginning. You know, Adam even got to hang out with God and name animals. How great is that? It's the best. And I picture it as this really, a really fun sort of moment. Not that, you know, Adam had to take a seat on a rock and he knew that this day had been coming for a little while, where he'd have to name the animals, and sits down with his clipboard and in comes this animal and he starts to write, and God's standing over him and he looks up as he started to write this name, and God's just like, so he tries again. Oh, I've got to get this right. This is God. Looks up. God's like, no, like it had to be. Didn't it have to be like God and Adam hanging out? And in comes this beautiful creature, and Adam's like patting it, and God's patting it, and they're cuddling this big lion. I like to imagine a lion, and they're like, let's name it together. Let's do life together. Like, that's the way God loves it. Not to stand over us, not to wait in the bush and tell Adam, you know, when it goes bad, give me a call. Like, I'm going to be here just to help you. Sort of like a spare tire. No, it's like life together. It's good. And then there's this moment where Eve takes of this apple, does things independently of God, and says, it'll be good. We can do this. And this fall happens. David knew what it was to depend on God. And this is an incredible story. And would you go there with me just to read this in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. It's this famous story of David and Goliath is where we start to read into this. And David has seen the plight of his people, this guy who bears down on them and accuses and abuses them, and he wants in. He wants in to defend his God's name, and he's trying to convince Saul here in 34 of 1 Samuel 17. But David said to Saul, "Your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and I killed it. Your servants killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of who? The living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." He knows that he can depend on the God who saved him in the bush when no one was around, when he's just doing his job as a shepherd boy. That same God would be dependable in this instance. And just like side note, how cool is it that he's just depending on God in his everyday occupation, in his work, that he trusts and rides front seat with God just in the things that he does every day. It's not that, oh, when I get out on the battlefield and I'm doing my ministry and I've moved into the ministry of David, and I'm, what a cool ministry, by the way, to just be slaying giants. That God will show up and he'll provide for me there because that's what he wants to do and that's his work. It's like, no. Like, he wants to be part of David's life here and protected him and delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear there. And we think that it's just that God wants to sort of be around us in ministry and when we're doing stuff that matters to him, when your whole life matters to God. He doesn't just want to be a spare tire. And David lived like this. In verse 41, it says, "Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'I'll give you flesh to the birds and the wild animals.' David said to the Philistine, 'You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." It's incredible dependence. You can hear it in David's language as he speaks from the abundance of what he knows in his heart, that God is dependable. But it's God's battle, it's God's strength. It's not in our man-made spears, in our swords, in our training. It's in God, and it's in his strength that I'll defeat you today. David, you know, wrote so much, and in his Psalms, there's so much to read. He says it again, that some trust in chariots and horses, but trust in the name of the Lord, our God. It's where his trust and his dependence lies, in the name of his Lord, as great a warrior as he was. Psalm 23 just starts, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters," and it goes on. You know that he has this revelation of God as his provider, as his deliverer, his protector. He knew what it was to depend on a limitless God when he himself was limited. And lastly, Moses, just quickly, who walks with the Israelites out of Egypt in captivity with this same spirit of meekness and dependence on God. They see his protection as the seas like close in on this Egyptian army. They see his direction as he leads them, you know, by this pillar of fire, these most incredible things that happen. He gives them direction and where they're going. They see his provision. Food just comes from the sky, comes from the ground, where water just comes from rocks. Nothing's impossible for God. He's the limitless God where we are limited. Their clothes didn't wear out. Shoes didn't wear out. Time and time again, they're reminded that they can depend upon this God. There's no end when you depend. It's the same God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And I think it's why the prophets and the writers of the early parts of the Bible would say, look at these guys. Remember Abraham? What God did for him, for Isaac, for Jacob, for Moses, for David, this incredible lineage. And we're like, we should come all the way down that line and be like, this is the same God. We serve this same incredible, dependable God who wants to use each of us in mighty ways, in his own strength, that his kingdom would come, his will would be done if we would just step aside long enough in that meekness, that humility of heart, to depend upon him, to depend upon him, to see him move in and through our lives. I want to close here. Dependence on God in meekness isn't weakness. It's a pathway of the mighty. Do you want to do great things in this lifetime, in your short lifetime? And depend on a God who is not limited by time, not by resource, not by any things that constrain us. Meekness isn't weakness. It's the pathway of the mighty, the way of the ones who make a lasting difference in this world. Where does your health come from? Is your wealth come from? Where does your help come from? The things to ask ourselves, where's our strength come from? It's God who gives us the strength, the ability to earn money, to provide. It's God who's the giver of every good and perfect gift. It's the God who sees all, who knows all, who's the giver of wisdom, giver of peace in the place of fear and doubt when we're out of control. Maybe you feel like that tonight, or maybe this is a reminder at the end of a wearying year to look at the next year and say, man, I'm gonna depend on God more, and he can use me in mighty ways. Giver of hope to the hopeless, joy in sorrow's place, and peace where worry or fear used to be. And just want to invite Craig, and if Jalen, you hung around, thanks so much, man. Don't feel obliged to stand or do anything that you don't feel you want to do, other than just take time with God in prayer, in song, in whatever way you see fit. We're blessed when we realize our need for him. Kingdom of God belongs to those who do. These are the words of Jesus. When in meekness we understand who God is and who we are, and we allow him to work in our lives. Let's be meek enough, vulnerable enough to depend on God together for the rest of this year, and for all of next year and the years beyond. Like, let's do it together. Don't have to hold it all together. Don't have to have it all in control all the time. That you can be vulnerable, know your frailty. Know God's dependable. Leave us with this, Psalm 91, just the start. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.